the third and final hour of the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us. If you missed any part of today's show, we encourage you to subscribe to the Lowdown podcast. Have it delivered right there to whatever your mobile device is. Never miss a single episode. Obviously, a very eventful day here, talking about coaching hires in the NFL, talking about the move of the San Diego Chargers to Los Angeles. And as we were just discussing the Rooney Rule, I thought no one better to have on than Amy Trask, our dear, dear friend Amy Trask, who was nominated, who's going to receive the Wise Woman of the Year Award, as we talked about yesterday. And when I text Amy this morning, no joke, she hit me up with a variation of, new phone, who dis? But we squared all that away. Oh, hi, good. Amy.
And you didn't even believe me. I was very, very clear. Phone died, lost all my contacts, and you took it a little personally, and I would never, ever, ever delete your contacts.
New phone, who dis?
Because I told you, I will hunt you down and stalk you forever.
Yes, you did say that. You did say that, Amy. Amy, we were having a discussion with all of these coaching hires, the six vacancies starting to fill up now. We were having a conversation about the Rooney Rule that started just with a simple question that we'll pose to you. Does it work?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, and that's not a cop-out on my part. It's a sincere admission, if you will, that I don't know. Look, it's a shame that anyone needs for there to be a rule to do what is right, and I had a privilege and a pleasure of working for someone for almost three decades who hired without regard to race, gender, ethnicity, religion, or any of those other features that have no bearing whatsoever on whether someone can do a job. And when the Rooney Rule was being discussed and before it was adopted, you know, I was on a conference call representing the Raiders. It was a one per club, 32 call. And I raised that issue. I said, it's a shame that anyone needs a rule to do what's right. And then I sort of threw in, and by the way, it should be named the Al Davis Rule. Does it help? I hope so. I think in some regards and to some extent it does. But look, people who don't want to hire in an inclusive manner are going to go through the motions without really intending to comply. And I hope over time that continues to wane.
Hey, Amy, you got a good point. It probably should be called the Al Davis Rule because Al Davis, and I think you were there when you guys hired Art Shell in 19, when was he the head coach?
I was there both times he was hired as head coach.
Two stints, 89 you know, and then.
Yep.
So I'm wondering, first off, what was that process like for you guys? I'm assuming that you were involved in the interview process. Did you interview a lot of candidates, or did you always have Art Shell in that particular time, when the first time you guys hired him, as one of your top choices?
Well, I was not involved in the process. There was only one time during my entire career that Al did include me in the process of hiring a head coach, and I'm about to do what kids today call humble bragging, but it's not really a humble brag. It's just a brag. The one time I was involved was 98, and I recommended he hire Bill Belichick. He didn't. He went on to hire another terrific coach, but I do like to tell that story. I wasn't involved, but I do know this. My discussions with Al, it was very clear that the last thing Al was considering was anybody's race, gender, ethnicity, religion in any hirings he made. Look, before he hired Art Shell the first time, he hired Tom Flores.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. But those guys are Raiders. And so here's the thing, Amy. I'm not sure if you're gathering what I'm trying to say. Those were in-house people. So it's not like Al Davis went searching out for the best candidate and came back with two minorities. Those guys are already Raiders. So it's.
Well.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear you. But let me respond with two things.
Yes.
Yes, they were in-house. But he gave them an opportunity to grow and to achieve and to prove themselves while they were in-house, which I think is the hope that we have for a lot of clubs, which is, look, here's a great example. You know, the Buffalo Bills recently hired a woman as a quality control coach, and I bristled when I heard people minimize what a quality control coach does, because David Shaw was a quality control coach for us. and he was allowed to grow and develop. And the man, you know, the guy's now, well, and it's Stanford. And so, you know, please accept how glowing this comment is from a Cal Bear. He's an absolutely positively sensational head coach, but you got to start somewhere. So I hear what you're saying. I understand your point. But the flip side to that coin is they were allowed to grow within the organization.
And how about a guy like Anthony Lynn? We've brought him up. He's been, last year he was interviewed quite a bit. I know San Francisco was a spot. This year he had one game chance in Buffalo, maybe a chance there. He's been interviewed a lot. Is he someone, and I don't know how you prove this, Amy, but would he feel slighted? Does he feel like he's the guy that's getting interviewed only by, you know, checking this box, or does he feel like he legitimately has chances here?
I don't know Anthony, so I don't know how he processes that or what his feelings will be. But I think that's an important discussion to have with those people who are interviewing you. And whether you have that discussion or your representative has those discussions, look, I certainly would not want to be interviewed by someone just so that person could check a box. But his relationship with the Pegulas should have indicated to him, to some extent, whether that was the case or not. By the way, in response to what we just discussed about Tom Flores and Art Schell, Hugh Jackson was someone Al hired from the outside and brought in as an offensive coordinator and then elevated the next year to head coach. So, you know, that's an example of someone who hadn't been a Raider for a long time. You know, as to whether or not I would not want to interview with someone if I simply thought I was there to fulfill them checking a box. Other people have articulated, well, you know what? At least it gives me interview experience. Perhaps they're more gracious than I.
Amy Trask with us here on The Lowdown. Amy, I asked the question, does the Rooney Rule work? And I'll change it a little bit and say, is it disingenuous?
I think that depends on which of the 32 owners we're speaking of. You've got 32 owners from, you know, sort of number one to number 32, as different as they can be in so many regards. And having sat behind those closed doors of owners meetings for all those decades, I can tell you there's a variety of worldviews and political views and business views. And I do think with respect to some owners, it may simply be that they're checking the box they're required to check. I know with respect to other owners, it's absolutely a sincere effort to be inclusive. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer.
You know, Amy, hiring a coach is such a critical decision. It's the personality the team is going to take. We just saw the Rams today, reportedly now the Rams are going to hire McVay at, what, 30? He's going to turn
30 years old.
It's amazing. Doesn't mean he can't be a quality coach. Doesn't mean he can't do a wonderful job. That age surprises me. What was your thought on hiring a 30-year-old guy to be the head of the franchise?
Well, you know, it certainly depends on the 30-year-old in question, and some are more capable and more sophisticated and ready at 30 than are others. I did see that he might want to reach out and have Wade Phillips be his defensive coordinator. And by the way, were I the new head coach in Denver, I would have tried to condition my acceptance on that job on Wade Phillips staying, because he's just that good. The reason I bring Wade up, he's 69 and a sensational coach. So maybe one of the things that he's looking to do as a 30-year-old head coach is bring in other assistants in a coordinator role that have a greater depth and wealth of knowledge.
Amy, can you tell me if during your three decades, how many minority coaches the Raiders brought in for interviews?
Oh, boy. You know, I can't off the top of my head. I can't. But I do think that Al's track record with respect to hiring, as I said, go all the way back to Eldridge Dickey, Tom Flores, Art Schell, me, Hugh Jackson. I think his track record speaks for itself. But no, I couldn't tell you. Let me let you in on a little secret.
What's up?
We won't tell anyone else. Al went through a lot of coaches. So there were a lot of people through that building, and I know he evaluated people without regard to race.
Amy Trask with us. I'm being reminded here on the text line at 44-1140 to please refer to her as the Princess of Darkness when we address her.
And not only should you refer to me in that manner, you should be a little scared when you do.
Well, there's reverence and respect in our voice when we talk.
A little fright. I want to hear a little fright.
Which is so funny that we read all of these things about Amy and how ruthless she was, and we totally don't know that side of you. You're so fun-loving, and you send us, like, Lucy gifts, and it's like, that's not the same Amy. Like, what Amy Trask actually was in the Raider boardroom? Because it's not the woman we have on the phone every week.
Well, maybe the one that would quote NWA to start a meeting. You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
You got a little love on the worldwide leader today. They had Ice Cube on there, and they asked him a question. Who's most surprised you was an NWA fan? And his answer was Amy Trask.
Really?
Yeah, it was a picture of you and Ice Cube. Yeah.
Well, I did at one point say to one of Ice Cube's representatives, who I know quite well, I said, does it sort of horrify you that the biggest NWA fan in the world is a middle-aged woman? And you know what his response was? He looks at me and he said, good taste in music knows no limits.
Yes,
isn't that
indeed
a great answer?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, on to the other big story that we've spent a great deal of time talking about today, the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm.
Wowee.
Yeah.
Wowee.
There's so much to dissect here. We knew it was coming, but did you at all still expect that maybe it'll work out and they'll be in San Diego, or was it just so clear they're out of there?
I thought there was a tremendous, tremendous likelihood. Let's call it an overwhelming likelihood that they would end up in Los Angeles. Look, I sat in that owner's meeting room and I saw firsthand how hard and for how long the Chargers tried to accomplish something in San Diego. And I left the Raiders, of course, in 2013, and those efforts continued for three and a half more years. They really, you know, from my perspective, they made a very, very honest, good faith effort to stay in San Diego. And, you know, that is not going to ease the pain of Charger fans in San Diego, and my heart goes out to them just as my heart will go out. Well, let's be honest about this. My heart will be far, far more with Raider fans if the Raiders choose to leave Oakland than it will in San Diego. But I do feel for those Charger fans as well. And them hearing my view that they made a good faith effort to stay doesn't ease their pain. But I do believe they did, and it just didn't seem to be viable for the Chargers to get the deal they wanted in San Diego.
So, Amy, would you say it's a good move in a sense that staying there seemed bad? I mean, it wasn't working. But besides the financial gain, it doesn't seem to be an area that really wants the Chargers there. They're going to share a home eventually. They're going to play in a smaller home at first. Is this a good move for the Chargers?
I'm not sure, and I don't know that any of us really know yet how this story will end. I actually like their decision to play in that smaller venue in the interim, because on day one, that means they will have inverted the supply and demand ratio that currently exists right now in San Diego. There is a greater supply of tickets than there is a demand. By moving into a very small facility, they immediately they affect that ratio in a positive business sense. As to sharing a stadium with the Rams, I've never seen a problem in sharing a stadium. The Jets and the Giants do it. I was a proponent in taking a very, very hard look at the Raiders and the 49ers do it, and I will insert a comment on that. When I was having conversations with the 49ers about a joint stadium, that was before the location had been picked, so it wouldn't have had to necessarily be where it is now. And it was also before the building was designed, so we could have designed it on an even Steven basis and both teams could have had input into the building. Look, even if we just look at it from a strictly environmental standpoint, it makes sense to have one building for two teams. But all of that said, it remains to be seen if Los Angeles will support either or both of these teams in the manner they want.
Yeah, that kind of brings me to my question here, Amy. You talk about supply and demand, and as far as we can tell with the research, the Los Angeles fan base does not want the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers, whatever you want to call them. So if you don't really have a welcoming fan base, why are the owners so adamant about having teams in this Los Angeles market where they lost the teams because the public didn't really support them?
Well, and I have a slightly different view on why they lost the teams. You're certainly correct. But Los Angeles has never, since 1923, had a modern, and by the way, to anyone listening, No, I was not alive in 1923. But Los Angeles hasn't had a state-of-the-art modern football stadium. And this city, I live here again now, likes nothing better than than purchasing tickets to a place, to a venue that is a place you must go to see and be seen. Look, when the Raiders were in Los Angeles, we never had greater demand for our tickets than after we announced a game was sold out. So they're going to have to build a building that is considered a hot building, that is the place to be seen, the place to see, and generate some buzz that way. And the Chargers are going to have to make a huge effort to cultivate the Orange County market that sits between San Diego and Los Angeles, and to cultivate the market slightly east of there.
Hey, Amy, does the revenue, because it's going to take them some time to get money off of the fans and ticket sales. Is it the media advertising revenue? Is that what they're excited about?
I couldn't answer that for them. I'm sure they've looked at business opportunities, sponsorships, advertising, media from a shoulder programming standpoint, local radio deals, local shoulder programming deals. Of course, the national TV is shared equally by the 32 clubs.
Amy Trask with us here on The Lowdown. Amy, in your experience, and I'm speaking in total generalities here, do owners care about fan bases, like legitimately care about them?
Again, I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all for all 32 owners. I know that there are owners that absolutely do. One I would point to in that regard that just comes to mind, Clark Hunt, the owner, or his family, the Hunt family owns the Chiefs. I've had those discussions with him. I know he does. I think there's other owners that are less concerned with the fan base. And look, this is a discussion I had with Al and other league owners and league officials over the course of my career. The fans are the backbone of the game. And whether those are fans who are tuning in on television or buying jerseys or showing up in the stadium, you better care about those fans. Because without the fans, you don't have the industry you have.
So, Amy, does this do anything one way or the other in helping the Raiders stay, pushing them to Vegas? Does this have any effect, the move of the Chargers, on the Raiders?
That is a heck of a good question. It's almost as if you do this for a living. I've been thinking about that a lot, and I don't know that there is necessarily a one-to-one effect. One thing that will be interesting and will impact the Raiders if they do move as they have articulated they wish to do, and will also impact the Chargers and the Rams, the eastern part of Los Angeles, commonly referred to as the Inland Empire, just a little bit over a three-hour drive to Las Vegas. So those fans that are sitting in that part of Los Angeles can get in a car and zip to Las Vegas. And, you know, people will say, Amy, there's traffic. Nobody zips anywhere. That's a pretty easy drive to Las Vegas. So I think you may have some fans in Los Angeles pulled east if the teams go to Vegas.
This conversation, due to the nature of the topics, was a little more serious than our normal conversations with Amy. Do you want to tell a joke before we let you go?
Oh boy, I don't know that any of my jokes are FCC approved.
Oh, that makes it even better.
I really don't. But I have to tell you something. I am so excited that you just shared with me that Ice Cube mentioned me on TV. You talk about a humble brag. And my immediate inclination is to rush to Twitter and say, hey, everybody, Ice Cube mentioned me on TV. But I've been told, Amy, stand down. You can't do that sort of thing on Twitter. Because when MC Ren, also of NWA, followed me on Twitter, I immediately bragged about that. And I got the slow down there, girl. Slow down. You can't brag about things.
Yes, you can.
Here's how you do it, Amy. Here's how you do it. You send the tweet.
You tweet it, and I'll retweet it.
No. You send the tweet to Ice Cube saying, hey, thanks for the shout out today. And then that's how you get it started. Right?
I don't know. No?
Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it, Amy. We'll take care of it.
But I will tell you this. Here's how I'll end with you. A friend of mine told me that his son said, I am dope. So I want to know from you men, is it inappropriate that I walk around my house now looking at my husband saying, I'm dope? I'm dope. Is that inappropriate?
Absolutely not.
He better be saying, yes, you are.
Yeah, I'm going to tell him you said that.
All right.
Mostly
he just rolls his eyes.
Go to iTunes and pull up Belle Biv DeVoe. Pull up the Poison album. You'll know what song to click on when you see it.
I know. I'm more of a likely to, you know me. I'm listening to Straight Outta Compton more, but I'll pull it up.
Yeah, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, Amy. And what's funny is I know we retweet these interviews out. We send them out for anybody who missed them. When Amy goes back and listens to the part where we mentioned Ice Cube and hears the change
in her voice.
Yes. Best part of the day for sure. Thank you so much for joining us on short notice.
Thanks for having me, man.
All right, thank you, Amy. There it is. Author of You Negotiate Like a Girl. And a panelist, host, star in our eyes of that other pregame show. Normally, we used to have her on every Friday. The thing was, we would have Amy on every Friday during the football season.
Yeah.
So now we've got to free her up. She has a life. She has different things to do. But she, you know, when week 17 was over, she, hey, you got anytime you guys want. You can see it on Twitter. She's texted us privately, but if you see it on Twitter, she, hey, I'll come on. Let me know. And when we had the idea, when Ken had the idea for the rule that I'm not going to say, as Tex Nation has noted, I've struggled saying the Rooney rule all day. It's worse than Russell Westbrook. It's like 10 times worse than Russell Westbrook. But I thought, man, this and then obviously the Chargers news broke first thing this morning. So perfect time to have one of the great business women, business people of the NFL, Amy Trask, on with us. One thing we noted is Chargers are moving to Los Angeles. Why aren't they sharing the Coliseum for 2 years? Why are they playing in a soccer field?
Well, I mean, the one thing she said, I hadn't thought about it, but immediately inverting the supply and demand, which, okay, because, I mean, honestly, if the Rams were there, well, let's take a weekend potentially that could happen or a two-week stretch. USC is playing whoever, and 85,000 people are there. Then the Rams play and they've been getting less, but 60,000 people are there. And then the Chargers play the next weekend and 22,000 people. I mean,
And that's the thing. Los Angeles is about Hollywood, right?
Yes, sir.
New York is sports. Sports and money.
And fashion. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Los Angeles, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to – what A-lister is going to the Chargers game?
Well, here's the thing. A-listers are smart. So if there are too many A-listers, remember when Billy Crystal used to be courtside at the Clippers because everybody was at the Laker game?
Yep.
A-listers are smart.
Yeah.
So and then because he did that, then Penny Marshall started showing up at the Clippers games, and so they're both there, and now you're like, oh, look at these Clipper fans.
But isn't Penny Marshall a notorious Laker fan?
Yeah, but she would go to the Clipper games with Crystal.
Just to get some camera time?
Maybe. But I think that – and there are so many –
Chargers are going to get screech.
They're going to get C-listers. They're going to A, B, C, D-listers. But there's always
room for... Did you just drop a screech reference? Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. I wish...
Dustin Diamond at the Chargers game.
Is he out of jail?
I don't know.
Okay.
He'll
get out in time.
All right.
He'll get out in time.
The thing that we were talking about before, we're like, if it's a 30,000-seat arena, when you normally get, 60,000, 70,000 for stadium for football, then the Chargers should be able to...
Well, and the other thing, it will look... But even if you get, let's say, a bad, like 21,000, it doesn't look as bad in 30,000 compared to 21,000 at, 70,000-seat stadium or 90,000-seat stadium.
Exactly.
Anybody know there was a basketball game played today already?
Well,
excuse me, what?
Yeah.
The London football games went so well, they decided to do it with the NBA. We'll talk about that today in the NBA. We'll talk about everything that happened last night. Plenty more. This final 30 minutes of the lowdown here on Sports 1140 KHTK. It's 2:33. Time to get ready for the International Sportsman's Expo. Coming to Cal Expo next Thursday through Sunday, January 19th. To the 22nd, there was a London basketball game today. Mike Malone and the Nuggets put up 140.
Woo!
Pacers only put up 112.
The Pacers not play the fourth quarter or just not show up for this game?
London basketball, man.
140?
Yeah.
Woo!
They don't play defense, apparently, in London.
Oh, that's why the Jacksonville Jaguars go there. Okay.
Yes.
Never really works out too well for them either, but I get your point. I get where you're going. Good news for the Sacramento Kings, though.
What?
The struggling Cleveland Cavaliers are coming to town.
Kick them while they're down.
They lost their second in a row. On a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, how bad is that for the Sacramento Kings on Friday?
10 being the worst?
10 being the worst.
Oh, that's 10.
It doesn't have to be.
It's going to go 13.
Yeah. They got the Warriors on Monday, a game that they'll probably be underdogs in. and could lose easily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not blowing out, but could lose. So you've lost two in a row. They'll have full attention on the Kings.
I mean, bad.
They're not resting anybody. They need a win. They'll likely get a win.
You know what they need?
Huh.
They need practice.
They do.
That's what LeBron James said. He said, we just need more practice. We need time together.
Now, why would he say that when everyone knows you don't get practice during the NBA season? So why are you saying something that you know is not possible?
That's an audible version of a subtweet.
Oh.
He's speaking to Commissioner Adam Silver. Hey, the schedule sucks.
Wow.
You need to fix it.
0-2 with Korver. Maybe that's the problem.
There it is.
Totally the problem.
Trade him to the Kings.
Totally the problem.
Sacramento need a shooter?
And it was the double whammy because you got the Cleveland mad, and you assume the Blazers are going to lose to the Cavs to help the – you know, if we're still thinking about this eighth spot,
yep.
That's a win you're not targeting the Blazers on getting, and they got. So double whammy against the Kings.
See, but
double whammies are rarely good.
But here's the thing. Does it have to be? I mean, why can't they go out there?
Cavs?
Yes.
Yeah.
You got a team that's on a road trip. Anytime any team goes across the country on a road trip, that's tough for them.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, they're going to play great for three quarters.
Yeah, I anticipate them being in the game.
I don't know what three quarters, but they're going to play great for three quarters.
Yeah, who do they put on Bron Bron?
Everybody. You put everybody
on
LeBron.
That's true.
And make Kyle Korver shoot it in the corner and see what happens.
No, that's a bad idea.
Prove you can do it.
Right.
Shoot it in the corner.
Like, do we have it? I mean, because you can't really put anyone on LeBron.
I mean, literally at the start of the game, is it Rudy?
Nope.
No,
I'd say Tolliver. Tolliver's going to put out much more effort than Rudy is going to put out on defense. Everybody knows this.
Okay.
Like, why would you put Rudy as a defensive assignment on somebody?
I would have guessed LeBron probably guarding Tolliver on the other end.
Could be.
Because I don't know that he sees Tolliver as a big three. You know, LeBron always
calls. Oh, that way he can freelance.
Lay back. And, he can chill on that side of the floor and focus on the other.
But
he's got
to close out because Tolliver will knock down threes on him.
But he'll make you make one.
Oh, yeah.
He'll make you make one. At least you have to make your first one or LeBron's not going to care.
You know who might guard him? Is Matt Barnes. Son.
There you go.
He's not heavy enough, though.
No, he's not. Well, nobody is.
Right.
But
good point.
I would think he might get some run on him. I bet Temple plays a lot on Kyrie Irving, especially late in the game.
Got it. You know what I heard that people say that works is smaller men fronting LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
And some
Ty Lawson.
Okay, I don't know about
that. I believe
the small
person who said that was Jason.
I don't know about that small, but we'll see.
Darren Collison, no?
Nah.
You don't like it?
I don't know. I'm not a coach. It might work.
Put
you never
Costa
know
on him. Lock him down.
Exactly.
Oh, yikes.
You get no points. Good luck, everybody else.
Yeah.
Boston won last night. They're 24-15, perhaps starting to get it together a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's a good team. They got everybody closer to full health. Yeah.
Took them a while. Isaiah had 38. That doesn't impress one member of the show. I won't say which one. Just doesn't impress one of them.
No, but it's impressive.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. I just don't want it on my team. But it's impressive.
I don't get it.
One day, I just feel like you're just going to walk in and you're going to go, damn it, I got something to say. And then you're just going to unload. I'm sorry, I was wrong.
If I proven to be wrong, sure. But everyone's just talking about their opinion and conjecture, and I'm like, you know what? I still stand by that. I don't think that he works with another dominant scorer. Everyone's going to say, well, they have it. Yeah, I know.
The team as it is, the Boston Celtics as it
is, sir,
gets to the conference finals. Do you think differently of them?
No, because it's the Eastern Conference.
It's LeBron.
Yeah, and they're not going to make the Eastern Conference Finals unless they make a trade.
You don't think they could beat who? Toronto? Atlanta?
Well, I don't think Toronto's that good or Atlanta.
Well, who do you think is good in the Eastern Conference besides Cleveland?
There's got to be somebody else, right?
Right, exactly. That's my point.
That's kind of my point.
Well, I'm saying getting to the conference finals. That's not good. What, 7 games, conference finals, Cleveland. Do you change your mind on Isaiah Thomas? Team set as it is.
You're saying that I don't think he's a good player. I think he's fantastic. I just didn't think it was going to work here with a dominant big man. I just didn't think over the long haul it was going to work. And they were going to have to start to pay that individual more than what he was producing at that particular time. And it didn't, in my opinion, didn't fall into what they were projecting down the line for the team. It could be a mistake. I don't think so. But everyone else is like, oh, he's scoring 38 points for Boston. That's fantastic. He's also taking 29, 30 shots a game. I don't want a point guard that does that. Yes.
No.
Whereas Chris Paul, he won yesterday. How many shots did he take? 13. He's called a point guard. I'd like to have one of those.
Does it feel like it's different, though, the league? I'm saying it's for the better because there's not as many guys like Chris Paul anymore.
True. True. But I still adhere to that. I'm sorry. Russell Westbrook's not going to win an NBA title. You can't have a point guard shooting 30 times a game. You can't. It's just
18th triple-double last night. He's getting assists, too, and they're winning.
Now, and he's doing it all by himself. Do you think they're really going to do anything?
I don't.
They're not going to do anything.
Not in a conference with Houston playing the way that they are, James Harden playing the way that he is.
Yeah.
Golden State, San Antonio, no.
He's basically a modern-day Tiny Archibald. Doing everything out there on the court. Just an amazing player. But you got to need some help.
So are you faulting Russell Westbrook or are you faulting Oklahoma City?
Both.
Well, why Westbrook?
Because he has too many turnovers. He doesn't really appear to me to be a guy that is bringing his players in with him. He seems like, I got this. And if I don't got it, then I'll look at you. That doesn't seem like an effective way to lead a team to me. Does that make sense?
I guess.
That doesn't.
But they're winning.
They're winning games. Sure, they're winning games.
24-16.
Sure.
And without Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I don't know what. I know what you're saying. I don't know what their alternative is.
Right. No, they're
stuck with
him.
I think he has to do what he's doing. Otherwise, they're a below marginal team.
And that's why I was like, I blame both. I blame him. And I blame the team for going with that.
I think Oklahoma City's done a hell of a job of trying to rebound after Kevin Durant leaves. They're doing a far better job than teams of the past who have lost a superstar and tried to rebound.
And at one point they had Durant and Harden.
That's insane. And Westbrook. That is so insane.
Isn't that crazy?
But none of those play. I mean, Harden couldn't be the player that he is now in Oklahoma City.
Probably not.
I don't even know that Westbrook could be the player he is right now today if Kevin Durant was there right now.
Well, he was pretty close to that guy
last
year.
I mean, he was great last year, but maybe it's because more of the focus is on him, and then when you watch an Oklahoma City game in the past, your attention is split.
Yeah.
Your attention is you're not watching to see what Victor Oladipo does for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
But he was, 6 of 19 last night, Westbrook? 6 of 19.
They won.
6 of 19.
We mentioned Ice Cube in our segment with Amy Trask a few minutes ago. Ice Cube's got a 3-on-3 basketball league. Mm-hmm. It's got some heavy hitters, some names you might be familiar with. They're heavy hitters. They're a little...
long in the tooth.
Thank you very much. We'll explain next on The Lowdown. The Garrett Temple Show debuts.
That's cool.
Grant Napier. Garrett Temple's an awesome
Garrett
interview.
Temple.
And a great voice. He's smooth.
I love Garrett Temple. I'm going to try to get him on a good day to hang out with us. He's got things to tell people. He's a smart, smart man.
Yes, he is.
Back here on The Lowdown, thank you so much for being with us. Excuse me, as we referenced there before heading out, Ice Cube has a 3-on-3 league. A couple of names you might be familiar with as well. Allen Iverson, Kenyon Martin, Chauncey Billups, Steven Jackson, Jason Williams, and one, Mike Bibby.
Yay, yay.
Can we break news right now and see if Doug Christie will be involved? No, I didn't even get to Christie before he said
no. He said, I'm down to ball.
Hard, confirmed, yes.
He said, I'm down to ball. Okay, there you go.
Breaking news here on Sports 1140. I can't wait till Bleacher Report tweets it out. Doug Christie refuses to play 3-on-3.
So what do they do? Is it travel or is it just in Southern California? What do they do?
It was summer, right?
Is it summer?
It starts in, I think, June.
Okay.
June or July. I've been trying to figure out if, like, women are involved. Like, how does this thing work? I haven't been able to find out too much.
There's some potential
there. Is there a TV deal? Ice Cube is all over ESPN. So does ESPN have a TV deal with this thing? They've announced names, coaches. Allen Iverson was a big get for them.
Coaches?
Yeah, isn't Allen Iverson
a player coach?
Yeah.
AI's player coach. Yeah.
That was the coach.
Well, they have practice?
We're talking about practice, man.
You knew someone was going to do it, it was Jason.
But I think the concept is that I think it has a chance. Just how is it executed?
Anything that gets Jason Williams back on a basketball floor, I'll take it.
But it has to be a touring thing, right? They got to, because you can't expect everyone to come
to one spot
to Southern California.
Yeah,
like
What if it's done like a TV show? Like you
it's
pack like
one
a,
time and
an arena, and then every Saturday, you play three games and you film it, and it airs on TV in the upcoming days or something, or it airs on Sunday, or it airs live. I don't know.
But you also would have to do locker room stuff, right? Arrival stuff like that. Because
they're going to need beat reporters.
Yeah.
Got it.
Well, just like, what is the actual concept, though? I mean, score, like, winners out? Is it, you know, to 21? I mean, there's different things. I mean, when people play 3-on-3, it's just, there's so many different kind of small technical rules. But I don't know what's best for television. And obviously, if it's going to grow, it needs to be on TV.
And if you have guys out there like Allen Iverson and Jason Williams, well, people are coming to see them put on a show.
Yes.
So do you have kind of an all-star game type rule where you're like, man, don't trip off the defense so much. Let's just have some fun. Yeah. Let's just run back and forth.
Yeah. Players calling fouls, or is it really a referee? Yeah. Or
Does Ice Cube really want to mess around and get a triple-double? It's from Tex Nation.
They only play on Friday.
Today was a great day.
Yeah.
Only play on Friday. Yeah. Nice job, Jason Ross. June 24th is when it all starts. Here's the other thing. I wasn't kidding about, you know, every Saturday, because look at some of these names. Mike, Jason, you know, we know that these guys are a little older.
Yes.
They're not going to recover super fast.
Mm-mm. And some of them
there ain't
heavier.
Enough seaweed that you can put in their bath to make them feel good.
That's a good point.
No seaweed and Epsom salt bath for these guys. They're going to need something a little bit stronger.
And is Mike Bibby going to play power forward?
Center. Bruising center.
Mike Bibby's not messing around.
When I found out Mike was there, I was like, Mike is going to have to stop lifting her. I don't know. When was the last time Mike's been on a treadmill? If you saw Mike at the last Kings game, you know he's pretty.
He's yoked.
He's like the Incredible Bibby now.
Yes.
He turns green when he's angry. I don't know, man. He's going to have to get on the treadmill and drop some of those pounds.
He's going to be backing. He's going to back Jason Williams down. He's going to post him up and back him down.
I guarantee two games in, he's going to have like bad ankles. He's so big now.
Yeah. Would you guys watch? Or is it a curiosity? Like, I think I would anytime you first see it.
Nailed it. It's called Big Three. Games will take place once a week on Saturdays throughout the summer. All four games every week will take place in the same location, with the location changing each week. Cities haven't been nailed down yet, but they're targeting a place like Seattle. New York is another target. Games will end whenever the first team reaches 60.
What?
And will incorporate a trio of 4-point circles beyond the traditional 3-point line.
Well, that's where Jay Will's hanging out.
Well, Bibby's going to be out there for sure. Okay, 60?
60. First team that gets to 60.
Sub.
Right? Sub. You know what's going to happen. They're going to bring their kids. Like, Mike Bibby's going to have his son sub in for him and stuff like that. That's going to happen. That would be fun.
Jay Will's got one. Is there
but he's younger, right?
Younger.
That's all right. Bring him in.
Bring him up. Yeah.
I'll watch. Now I'll watch.
But see, this is the one thing. If you've been in this industry for 5 minutes, you know exactly how it works. So, Damian, it didn't take you long to figure out, how could they do this? Every Saturday, shoot like 3 or 4 games, and then, package it that way. Of course. Done and done.
The league will include no team owners, and teams will compete for the largest portion of the player's share of the Big Three. That's the name of the league. The Big Three's revenue, with the players and coach on the first place team splitting 30% of the pool.
Anything going to charity?
Just going to scroll for the word charity here.
And I know it's 3-on-3.
Ice Cube, please.
I know it's 3-on-3 listed, but I wonder if, are there like 5 people on the team? Because, I don't know if it's just 3 guys, or are you going to have 4 or 5?
Now, this 3-on-3 thing is real, because I've heard that they're attempting to make 3-on-3 an Olympic sport.
Okay.
3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport. Next Olympics, they're trying to get it in.
Already that soon?
Yep.
So, what's next? 3-on-3 radio shows?
We got that covered.
We get to compete in the Olympics for 3-man radio shows? 3-on-3 basketball?
Would it be more of a sense of, are we sending NBA guys, or is there, separate guys? Like, no, these guys are 3-on-3. It's a little different.
I heard interesting things about that on the women's side. I'm not sure how that's going to work, if it's all going to be, from one Olympic pool team, and, there's some that get designated for the traditional basketball, and then there are some that get designated for the 3-on-3 basketball.
You know what? I think I'm going to propose something. I think I want a league of only play-by-play and color analysts. That's it.
That do what?
Basketball.
Play?
Yes.
Now you're just being silly.
No!
Mark Jackson versus...
We could run this, because Grant's got some size, and we got Doug Christie.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about, radio stations.
No, television play-by-play and color analyst for basketball.
What about Walt Frazier? Walt Frazier's...
Yeah, but he's so old. Doug would take him.
I don't think Doug wants to play basketball. given the reaction he just gave us to the 3-on-3, I think Doug's days are done.
Man.
He likes to work out and
you
train.
You done changed, Doug. You done changed, man. Radio changed you. That's why I used to call you Duz. Why'd I call him Duz? Because he does whatever the team needs.
Fine. Well, he's not going to play basketball for you.
You done changed, Christy.
He work out with the boys. He work out with his boys now. Teach him the fundamentals. What do they call their own fouls? That's a good question here on the text line. Do they call
their
own fouls?
That's what I wonder. That's a lot of 3-on-3, and that's where it gets dicey.
Because these dudes are still competitive. You think AI is going to back off on a foul call?
Oh my God!
You know what I'm saying? They're still competitive.
If AI is the coach, who's he going to argue with?
Well, he's
who's he going to have a falling out with? At the end of the season?
Himself.
I demand to trade myself.
He's mad at himself.
You going to trade? Yeah,
and there's money on the line. Real money, right?
They have to have a referee.
Yeah, man.
There's got to be. Yeah. There's got to be. Hey, Joey Crawford just retired from the NBA.
There you go.
Why not?
He's not going to take any mess from
them. That would be awesome.
Joey Crawford's not taking any mess.
Joey Crawford is tailor-made for – and if he spots Tim Duncan watching, just give him a technical for watching. speaking of not necessarily Tim Duncan but San Antonio, the Lakers ran into a problem at shoot-around, a problem that Jason Ross is very familiar with. What is the issue with San Antonio and bats? The Lakers shoot-around came to a complete halt because a bunch of bats came swarming around AT&T Center.
What?
Yeah. Again.
Kings
fans might be familiar with this.
Yeah, a lot of bats in Texas. I've done three games there in San Antonio for G-Man, and twice a bat has arrived. And once, of course, was the famous one on Halloween. That Manu Ginobili
picked
swatted.
It up.
Yeah.
Did he get a rabies shot? He had to get a cut. Yeah, he got a
shot. Well, he had to get a rabies shot because he touched a bat.
Oh, I thought he had something on his hand. I thought maybe like he had
a bat.
Cut. No, a cut.
Oh.
I thought he had like a cut on his hand or something.
I don't know.
His wing.
A bat on my hand would be enough to say, hey, Doc.
And why did PETA get mad?
He killed a bat with his hand.
Oh. Well, that bat didn't belong indoors.
Yeah.
Hey, bat roamed into the wrong place.
He's on the court. He came into the paint.
3-on-the-key.
Which
one
was
terrorizing an entire nation. Poor Jason Ross just trying to do his job. No, have you ever showed up to work thinking, man, I'm going to have to describe a bat flying around an arena right now?
Never thought.
But you've done it.
It was interesting.
How many of you can say you've described a bat flying around an arena to an entire region of people listening?
Watching a bunch of grown men run away from said bat.
Oh, please.
Which I don't blame
them. I would wait in the bathroom until I heard that bat was gone.
I still remember, I think it was the referee was Courtney Kirkland, if I remember, had a towel. And he's like trying to like there's the 0% chance that's going to you're not going to catch it in mid-flight.
At any point, it's one of the rare occasions you're filling in for G-Man.
Yeah.
At any point, did you decide, screw this, I'll come back when this thing is gone?
Well, especially if the bat was coming near me. It never did, but I was afraid of it.
You're gone.
Screw you guys. I'm out of here.
That's Ken Rudolph. Jason Ross, I'm Damian Barling. Finesse Mitchell is going to be performing at the Punchline this weekend. He's going to join us in studio tomorrow. We'll talk about the division rounds, and we'll get you ready for the Kings and Cavs. That's all coming up tomorrow. Doug and Grant are coming up next.